affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark?
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. All right, so this is the Wednesday night edition of Head On. You know what that means. It's the prayer meeting edition. Midweek, we get together and, well, we sort of reconsecrate ourselves to the principles of democracy and constitutional form of government and an end to fascism as we know it. Because, we're living in a country that's barreling ahead toward fascism now, aren't we? But it is Wednesday night, and of course, that you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Absolutely. And, of course, what went down today? Well, this is December 7th. This is a day that should always be remembered. I think, you know, it's hard for me not to take note of it when the fella sitting in there watching college hoops right now had his life forever changed by the events of December 7th. And, lost a brother, lost cousins, friends. Had his entire world turned upside down by a bunch of fascist madmen, be they the Japanese or the National Socialists of Germany. And as I have remarked on this program before, he has said that had he known that George Bush's America was what he was fighting to save, he might well not have gone. Because George Bush and his evil cronies have made a mockery of my father's and his family's and his friends and his generation's sacrifice. They have made a mockery of it. Now, dear leader went off to the Council on Foreign Relations today, another little friendly audience that was amenable to his speechifying. This man is truly a boob. And he, you don't need me to tell you that. He proves it every time he opens his filthy little mouth. Now, check it out. This is Dear Leader as he introduces his remarks. Just listen.
Thanks for letting me come by and address the Council on Foreign Relations.
You.
The Council is one of America's oldest and most admired foreign policy organizations. And I appreciate the chance to come talk about foreign policy.
Thank you for the chance to come by and talk about foreign policy to you foreign policy people. And I really like foreign policy. Foreign policy, you see, is a personal forte of mine. Oh, my God. It makes your head hurt. This guy actually thinks he's the President of the United States. this guy has his finger on a button that could destroy life as we know it on planet Earth. And thank you for letting me come by. I like talking about foreign policy with the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a fine organization. He's talking to the membership of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's telling them who they are. They know, George. George, they've got the membership certificate suitable for framing, for God's sakes. They know. God only knows what. You were told 15 minutes before you gave the speech who these people were, and now I'm here and I'm telling you who you are.
I rebuke it in the name of the Lord.
Yes. Now, bear in mind, this was somebody in the White House speech writing office has decided that George is going to start speaking in trilogies. You know, trilogies and octologies and things. Those are all the rage. You know, and we had the Lord of the Rings at the movies and all the Harry Potter movies and the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Goop or whatever. And now we got the Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, and that's a septology or whatever it is. So now this was the second in a series of three speeches by Mr. Bush regarding victory in Iraq. And he went there on December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. As Franklin Roosevelt said, a day which shall live in infamy. And get this. He is so jacked up on 9/11, he can't even help but dishonor the veterans of the Second World War by forgetting what the hell he's there for. Check it out.
Today we mark the anniversary of a fateful day in American history. On December the 7th, 1941, our peaceful nation awoke.
Pot it down.
To an attack plotted in secret.
Stop that thing. I want to play it again. Just back it up. I cut it too broadly. Did you hear that? December the 7th.
Today we mark the anniversary of a fateful day in American history. On December the 7th, 1941, our peaceful nation awoke to an attack plotted in secret and executed without mercy.
9/11, dear leader. 9/11, underling. September. I despise that man. I loathe him. Wouldn't throw a warm bucket of spit on him if he was on fire. How callous are you? How callous, a pathetic example of a member of the human race, are you when you can't even remember the difference between 9/11 and December 7th? How pathetic. How sickening. How disgusting. How rude. How crude. How, I'll say it, un-American are you when you can't even honor December the 7th, the beginning of World War II, a legitimate war, without trying to tarnish it up with your own failures 40 years later. 60 years later, sorry, bad math. 60 years later, on a morning in Florida when you sat reading My Pet Goat. How callous. How crass. How undeserving of the heroic sacrifices that were made. How heartbreakingly un-American that man is. So let's take a break. When we come back, he said lots of things today. And interestingly, John Murtha had a response for him as well. We'll go into all of that. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is Head On.
dress. So the paper curled in a long black hair, tapping one small elegant shoe in time. Oh, the way she plays with them. Smile at one and dance with another. Pretty soon they're forming up a line. And she's laughing, laughing into 1939.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
You know me, I'm Bob. You know the phone number, too, I imagine. It's 877-443-2366 or, alternatively, 304-658-3333. Easy, isn't it? Email, of course, to Bob at headonradio.com. Shout out to all of our buddies at DU and the Tom Hartman chat room. Great to have you guys along. Now, yes, dear.
And the Fourth Estate.
Yeah, our Fourth Estate pals.
Love you, mates.
There you go. Now, well, okay. We can do more Bushisms later. Let's go to the phones. I hate to keep people waiting. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. You?
Fine. I have an interesting story for you.
Oh, good.
Hear it.
Go right ahead.
I was speaking with a friend of mine on the West Coast, and she and several of her friends went over to Las Vegas for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were at the MGM Grand, they were seated at the bar, and several Marines joined them, and they were talking to them. And just as a matter of fact, one of the Marines said that they would receive what they call clearance for a certain address or addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would do is simply to crash the door down and kill every living thing in the house, men, women, and children.
Wow. Men, women, and children?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ask no question. And this is redolent of what they used to call in Southeast Asia or Vietnam, search and destroy. Then they changed that term to sweep and clear. And this is how they would pacify Hamlet.
Yeah, I was going to say, somewhere along the way we're going to hear about pacification.
So basically this is something that was shared with me. And she said these young men just basically relayed these tales with complete sang-froid and equanimity, no expression of remorse, no guilt. They just said it. They were just given the orders, and when they were given a certain address or addresses, then at night they would go and take care of these people.
Well, that's how it goes, isn't it? The remorse and the agony and the night sweats and the terrors will set in later.
Well, the thing about it is this. I mean, you know, we're supposed to win the hearts and minds of these people. With these types of tactics, I mean, this is a type of tactics that were used by the Gestapo during World War II and by the Soviet secret police organs ever since they were in existence. You know, like, for example, during the Stalin purges.
Yeah. Well, Jim, great minds think alike. I'd like to play something for you right now. I think it's the last cut. John Murtha responded to Dear Leader's little speech today, and, well, you're on the same page with him. Check this out.
Okay. If you remember, in Jordan, the bomber said that the reason she became a bomber was because two of her relatives were killed in Fallujah. We lost the hearts and minds of the people.
Same thing, isn't it?
Well, there it is, and there you have it. I mean, these types of tactics simply against non-combatants particularly. I mean, we're talking about women, children, babies, their pets, their animals, whatever.
Yeah.
They were given the orders not to leave any living thing alive. And I cannot fathom war, even in this day and age, being fought in such an unknightly fashion.
Well, when you consider, Jim, who's waging this war, it becomes a little easier to understand. I mean, these people are bloodthirsty. You know, when cowards lead wars, what you get is war crimes. And these young men, they'll say, well, you know, I was only following orders. Have we heard that somewhere before?
I believe we did. And I don't know from which level this came, whether it came from the regimental or the battalion or the company level. But, I mean, this type of MO would have to at least come from the regimental or the division level.
When you're willing to kill women and children, it's coming from the top down, Jim. And I think you probably know that. You hate to say it, but it is. It's coming from Rumsfeld. It's coming from it's coming from the mouth of Bush. You know, he's desperate for a victory in a war that cannot be won.
Well, here's the thing: this will not win it for him, and what he's doing is digging his own grave. I mean, you know, when you start using these types of tactics against people, you will lose any potential ally you could ever possibly have, and you will have lost any friend that you ever had. And those people who side with you had better leave when you go, because they're going to be swept up by the same broom.
Well, you're right. And what happens to the next door neighbor? These people, you know, we bust down the door, we kill everything in sight, and the next door neighbor knows about it. The next door neighbor doesn't have rockets or helicopter gunships or tanks.
They've got
rocks. They might have a grenade launcher, but whatever they have, the yearning for justice and for revenge burns bright and hot and long.
Well, yeah, it certainly does, particularly with in the minds and hearts of these people. And, you know, pretty much in that part of the world, they have become inured to that type of violence, and they don't care who they use it against. And then when you place this type of thing in the equation, then this is just a recipe for complete and total disaster.
Well, Jim, the idea of the blood debt is very much alive in that culture. And it's one of the problems we face. We went in there without bothering to understand. Every fundamental tenet of Sun Tzu's The Art of War was ignored.
Well, I know that. We've talked about that before.
And
you know, the first night of the war, we dropped 4 JDAMs on the Mansour district of Baghdad, which is sort of an upscale neighborhood there. And 42 civilians were killed, and of course the people we tried to kill were not. They escaped.
Right.
And there wasn't even enough material around to get DNA, but there were 42 innocent non-combatants killed because of a hot tip.
And every
that's the way the war started.
It is.
Now, on the first night of the war, this is what happened. I mean, when you drop 8,000 pounds of highly volatile explosive on a civilian neighborhood, I mean, this is something that makes the firebombing of Dresden and the bombing of Coventry and, you know, the bombing of Guernica pale by comparison, really.
It really does. And let's also face it's racist. George Bush's war is a race war. Plain and simple. We wouldn't do this to white people.
Against brown-skinned people, against Arabs, and because they're of a different color than he?
Yeah. We wouldn't do this to white people. Plain and simple.
Well, that's just a horrible thing. I mean, this...
Isn't it?
I mean...
And it's being done in my name and yours, Jim.
Well, you know, it really didn't dawn upon me that they were using these types of tactics until, quite innocently, my friend just shared this vignette with me. And when I heard this, and I said, "No, wait a minute," I said, just tell me the exact words. And how old were these guys? And she repeated it word for word. Her friend was there with her. You know, they were buying them drinks. You know how these guys.
Yeah, sure.
And they were just talking about it. They were ages maybe 20, 21, 26. And, you know, they were just spoke about this with complete and total lack of regard. And I was just picturing in my mind a shot taken during World War II of an SS Tommy gunner standing by an anti-tank ditch with a cigarette dangling on his lips as he machine guns the people who were to fall into the ditch of already warm bodies in that ditch.
Yeah, you get done, you go have a beer.
And, you know, even... And I don't want to belabor this point, and I don't want to take up your time, but even Himmler, as bloodthirsty as he was, and Heydrich, the architects of the Final Solution, decided that even this type of thing was taking too much of a toll on their soldiers.
Yeah.
Because their soldiers were coming back from these special Einsatzgruppen missions with broken nerves, and they were coming back, you know, basket cases. Which is the reason that they figured they would adopt a more industrial type of method in disposing of the Jewish people by putting them in concentration camps and using, you know, Zyklon B gas and, of course, gas-fed ovens.
Well, you know, look.
Victoria, and they thought that would take the, you know, the role of the of having to be Tommy gunners off of their soldiers because it was, even in their bloodthirsty minds, it was too inhumane for them.
Right. Well, you know, we've moved on. We're using white phosphorus. It turns into a gas in the air.
Uh-huh.
And we know what that does to a human to human flesh, and we know that it's been done to civilians. It's sickening, and it is the great shame. This isn't the first war of the 21st century. This is the first great American shame of the 21st century, Jim. But we got to get out of here. We got to hit the break. Thanks so much. Take care. And a quick break. And we'll go into a little more depth of Dear Leader's speech when we get back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Aren't the Beatles just timeless? Especially some of the early stuff. You can listen to it, and it sounds like it came out yesterday. Gorgeous stuff. 26 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. Going back to Dear Leader's speech there at the Council on Foreign Relations. It wasn't 2 minutes into the speech before this blood monkey started tying 9/11 to December 7th and dishonoring those who served in the Second World War by comparing them to his filthy little escapade trying to destabilize the Middle East. Listen to this.
On September the 11th, 2001,
see,
our nation awoke to another sudden attack. In the space of just 102 minutes, more Americans were killed than we lost at Pearl Harbor.
You got that? September 11th is more important than Pearl Harbor. Isn't that just disgusting of him? December the 7th, 1941 was an act of war against military targets and has no comparison whatsoever to September the 11th, when, on August the 6th, 2001, Condoleezza Rice delivered to him, George Bush, a document entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. that described the hijackings and the attacks. And she later said, well, it was just a historical document.
It's great to be young and insane.
She is, isn't she? They all are. They are all certifiably mad. Crazy, 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 crazy people. I mean, what does it say about Condoleezza Rice when she stands up and says, we've never tortured anybody. We haven't. We've never tortured anybody. When we've got people who have been convicted for torturing people. We've never flown anybody to another nation. There are people who have sworn testimony about the CIA renditions. They've been caught in Sweden. They've been caught in Germany. They've been caught in Italy pulling these stunts. Kind of sleazy Rice goes to Germany, and the CIA hustles out there and shuts down two of its secret torture prisons in advance of her visit. The new German chancellor mentions the fact that we captured a German citizen and mistakenly held him at the torture base at Bagram, if I'm not mistaken. And she says this publicly, and the State Department comes out and kind of sleazy Rice's little minions and says, well, we didn't admit a mistake. We don't admit mistakes. We don't make mistakes.
Monsieur! Is it wrong?
Crazy people. Crazy people. You know, the real woohoo nuts. Donald Rumsfeld and his known gnomes and garden gnomes and yard gnomes.
Straighten out that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, there's a real mind bender for you, right?
I'm not providing answers. I'm not the shell answer man. I'm confused. I'm aggrieved. I'm heartbroken. On this December the 7th, 2005, 64 years after the single most defining event of the 20th century, I got George Bush at the Council on Foreign Relations saying this kind of stuff.
Like generations before us, we're taking the fight to those who attacked us. And those who share their murderous vision for future attacks. Like generations before us, we face setbacks on the path to victory. Yet we will fight this war without wavering. And like the generations before us, we will prevail.
My God, you don't have to play the whole clip, honey, but go back and play that first little bit of babble.
Like generations before us, we're taking the fight to those who attacked us.
No!
And those who share their murderous vision for future attacks.
No! We're taking the fight to those who attacked us. Put it down! Not me, him. We are not taking the fight to those who attacked us. And if you think that we are taking the fight to those who attacked us, you are either sadly deluded or criminally insane. What's the Nahuatl word for that? The ancient Mexica, the Tlawele. You're Tlawele. You are dangerously mad. We are not taking the fight to those who attacked us.
little Ahmed sleeping in his bed in a neighborhood in Baghdad did not attack us when we and yet we dropped missiles on his family. Little girls and little boys who have had limbs blown off, hands, heads, feet blown off by George Bush didn't attack us. How dare he, on December the 7th, 2005, compare our defense of ourselves when we were attacked by another nation state? How dare he compare that to his slaughter of the innocents in Iraq? How dare he? Dare he? We're taking the fight to those who attacked us. God Almighty, damn him. And I mean that in the most pure religious sense of the word. You know, ninth level of hell encased in ice, Dante-esque stuff. We're taking the fight to those who attacked us. Saddam didn't attack us. Oh, no. No, he didn't. People funded by the Saudi royal government attacked us. Yes, indeedy. Business partners of the Bush family attacked us. Absolutely. Because you do remember, of course, that the Bin Laden family was one of the early investors in Arbusto Energy, right? Taking the fight to those who attacked us. No one in Fallujah, Najaf, Nasiriyah, Ramadi, Tal Afar, Baghdad, Mosul, no one there attacked us. But we certainly, by God, attacked them now, didn't we? It doesn't end there. I've got more Dear Leader for you when we get back from the break. Somebody go and get me a bucket. I'm gonna be sick. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes dishes before they pile up in the sink and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
What? You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Welcome back. There's a line from the great John Sayles film, Mate One. We're partial to it here in wild, wonderful West Virginia because it tells one of our most heroic stories of a time when ordinary working class people stood up to the thugs from the coal companies and extracted a little bit of justice. Of course, you know, our side wound up catching the worst of it. That was back when, a year or so later, Billy Mitchell tested out his hot new theory of aerial bombardment against civilians at the Battle of Blair Mountain. But in that movie, Mate One, there is a line, and the line is, "All we got in common is our misery," Joe Keenihan used to tell me. "So the least we can do is share it." So I'm grateful, I'm truly grateful for the fact that you're sitting by and sharing my disgust, my misery, my outrage, and by the commonality of it, somehow we might generate enough energy to stop it. Just stop it. It is not, however, going to be easy. I read a report today out of, I guess, the Washington Post. Yeah, there it is. Headline, "Democrats fear backlash at polls for anti-war remarks." Now, you've got a blithering idiot like George Bush standing up today, December 7th of all days, and saying that we're taking the fight to those who attacked us. And yet our side can't quite make up its mind as to whether or not the right thing to do is to oppose him. "Democrats fear backlash at polls for anti-war remarks. Strong anti-war comments in recent days by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean have opened anew a party rift over Iraq, with some lawmakers warning that the leader's rhetorical blast could harm efforts to win control of Congress next year." Bug spray. More than 60% of the American people disapprove of this filthy war, and some members of my party are still so lost in the wilderness that they can't quite realize that they are playing with poison when they continue to support this murder, this mayhem, and this massacre in Iraq. Massacres of ours, massacres of theirs. You know, this is Sunday school stuff. This is nursery Sunday school stuff. Don't do rotten crap to people that you don't want them to do to you. It is not tough to figure out. And we're taking the fight to them, to the attackers. God Almighty! This is not... If my party does not figure out that that the Republicans are not going to stop this war... We can stop the war if we can just stop the Joe Liebermans. And there is a strong undercurrent. I think it was our pal Victor who sent me an article today talking about what's going on in Connecticut, the strong groundswell of anti-Liebermanism that's running through there. Lowell Weicker has said that if no one runs against Lieberman, by God, he will. And Lowell Weicker started out a Republican, now he's an independent. And my God, I wouldn't hesitate for a minute to suggest that he be supported against Lieberman. Hell, if they ran a Republican against him, he would probably be less of a Bush toe sucker than what Joe Lieberman is. You know, like I said last night, when the Republicans are out there quoting Joe Lieberman, that doesn't mean that Joe Lieberman is right. That means he is getting more wrong by the damn day. So, we got Dear Leader out there telling us that we're fighting the Iraqis because they attacked us. Oh, you dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking liar. God will get you for that kind of lying. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He went on. He went on. And on. And on. That's a sound cue. La, 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 la. I don't know what Agnes is listening to. I'm having fun. I'm just playing. But, we're having computer troubles. That's the problem.
Yeah. The enemy must be defeated on every battlefront.
Yeah.
From the streets of western cities to the mountains of Afghanistan to the tribal regions of Pakistan. To the islands of Southeast Asia,
huh?
And of Africa.
What?
Yet the terrorists have made it clear that Iraq is the central front in their war against humanity.
No, they haven't.
So we must recognize Iraq as a central front in the war on terror.
Huh? All mackerel are fish. Therefore, if you buy trout, it won't rain. Trout live in trees. Did you hear that? The doofus in chief just declared war on Southeast Asia and the Horn of Africa.
Hold that thought for a second.
Yes,
now,
ma'am.
You know that he thinks he's doing God's work, right?
Well, God talks to him.
Okay, well, hold on. I've got something for you.
Okie dokie.
I came to tell you that I was once a lover of the things of this world. I made $100,000 a year. I had a house in Scarsdale.
Say it, brother.
Blue swimming pool.
Yes.
Yes, brothers, I lived the white man's lie. Yes, but I was lost. Yes, I was dancing with alcohol.
Dancing.
I was loving drugs.
Uh-huh.
And there were women. Brothers and sisters, oh God, there were women, fine women, but I hadn't hit bottom yet.
No.
Oh no.
No.
I just kept falling, right on through the floor, and that's when God found me.
Now this is what you want on a prayer meeting edition.
And I've been persecuted for speaking this truth.
Yes.
He said to me, son!
What?
That's what he called me. And I said, son! And he said, yes! Yes! You are the son of God!
What is this from, Agnes? A meeting of the National Security Council?
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Now, wait a minute. That's where we have to draw
this
the line.
This man is clinically insane. He's presently undergoing treatment at the Cedar Brook Hospital under my supervision.
This man is clinically insane.
Things happen.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
No, but honest to God, though, that I know what that's from. I mean, it's from Dream Team. But the fact of the matter is, it sounds like a meeting of the National Security Council. As it stands now. George Bush today declared war on the Horn of Africa and Southeast Asia. And said that Iraq is the centerpiece of the GWAT. Global War on Terror. Can't get him to say G-Save, the global struggle against violence and extremism. It's the centerpiece of the GWAT. But it may be a centerpiece, but he's willing to go out and work on the wreath. Horn of Africa? Southeast Asia? Okay, one more time.
And the enemy must be defeated on every battlefront. From the streets of Western cities.
What Western cities?
To the mountains of Afghanistan. To the tribal regions of Pakistan.
Okay.
To the islands of Southeast Asia.
Huh?
Horn of Africa.
What?
Yet the terrorists have made it clear that Iraq is the central front in their war against humanity. So we must recognize Iraq as a central front in the war on terror.
Did I miss that latest edition of Osama Gone Wild, where he says Iraq is the central front on the war on terror and the war on Western frisbees and wheat? Did I miss that?
I think in the reference to the Horn of Africa, wasn't that where the ships were pirated?
But wait, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know what he meant. It was just another one of those delightful little Bush verbal gaffes that the right wing is so fond of. He was thinking about what remember the Virginia Republican that was talking about all the sex in it? He meant horny Africa.
That's enough of that, Bob.
Okay, let's take a commercial. This is Head On.
It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Now everybody knows there's differences between a woman and a man. Some that you can't do nothing about, and other ones you can. Some that you don't want to mess with, some that you just can't doubt. Like the difference in the subjects men and women talk about. Don't a woman always seem to want to talk about how you feel? While the man rather talk about a brand new rod and reel. Where do they both get together? Where do they both get along? Somewhere between smallmouth bass and honey, tell me what is wrong. Now, woman, she got that soft side, kind of like a puppy's tummy. Man, he got one too, but he keeps his wrapped up like a mummy. So if relationship conversation slips into discussion about silicone cock, that's okay, it's just the way that men and women talk. So a woman always seems to want to talk about how she feels, while a man rather talk about an automobile. Where do they both get together? Where do they both get along? Somewhere between carburetors and honey, tell me what is wrong. Tell me why you love me. Check out this DVD. The more that you combine the two, the closer you can be. Everybody knows there's differences between a woman and a man. Some that you can't do nothing about, and other ones you can. Some that you don't want to mess with, some that you just can't doubt. Like the difference in the subjects men and women talk about. Said the difference in the subjects men and women talk about. We'll be right back.
so far, I just can't see. You're so far away from me. You're so far away from me.
Check it out.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
An hour already gone. Who could imagine it? This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. Just the facts. Phone number 877-443-2366. Bob at headonradio.com is the email address. Might as well get back to Dear Leader. And after that, some responses, hopefully, from Congressman Murtha. Now, well, it almost needs no intro. Just run it. Let's get this over with.
The enemy must be defeated on every battlefront.
Uh-huh.
From the streets of western cities.
Oh, yeah, Denver again.
To the mountains of Afghanistan. To the tribal regions of Pakistan.
Just let
this
sink
in. To the islands of Southeast Asia and the Horn of Africa.
Yeah, Horny Africa.
Yet the terrorists have made it clear that Iraq is the central front in their war against humanity.
Because they put up billboards. This is the central front of our war on humanity.
So we must recognize Iraq as a central front in the war on terror.
How can... You have got to be certifiably insane, just completely cerebrally deficient or utterly evil. One, or all, together... To stand there with a straight face and say we've got to recognize Iraq as the central front of the war on terror. Holy Moses, you know, he started that war. He started it. The Iraqis didn't start it. He did. There's no getting around it. But we got one more.
I'm a God warrior!
Yeah, he's a God warrior, absolutely. Is there one more? I thought I did six. Okay. Well, after Dear Leader's little speech, John Murtha, a guy who has actually worn the uniform with honor as opposed to the dishonor with which George Bush treated the uniform, John Murtha came out and had a few comments. Straightforward, to the point, and, you know, worth hearing.
We had truck drivers couldn't back up a truck. We had security guards that weren't trained in security at all. We had National Guard security people without radios, couldn't talk from the front and the back of the convoy, endangering their lives.
Yeah, that's the military that the Bush administration sent to war. No armor. No body armor. No armor on the Humvee. No jammers. No Kevlar blankets. And woefully undertrained. Did you hear what he said? We had truck drivers who couldn't back up a truck. We had security personnel who had never done a security job in their lives. That is... Sometimes you hate... Just... I have a wonderful memory. I'm glad of it, but sometimes it's a little bit tough. Because I remember how that sniveling moron stood on the hustings in the 2000 election and said, I will restore competence to the military. Because right now, of all of our divisions, and he plucked some number out of the air, would have to say, not ready for duty, sir. I remember that. Damn it. I remember that. and he sends them into battle without the very armor that would save their lives. We've lost, what, 2,130 and counting American soldiers in the filthy, bloody, stinking sands of Iraq. How many of those died because they weren't properly armored? How many of those died in Humvees that didn't have bottom plate armor? Or armor on the door panels or the quarter panels? Huh? How many of them died for want of adequate radio communication? Yeah, every last one of those deaths goes to the doorstep of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. This is not a great big old game of Risk. This is real, George. And you have really screwed it up. But John Murtha, he does get to the heart of the matter.
Secretary Wolfowitz said, we're going to have oil production going to pay for this.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, too.
And this is all we've gotten. We didn't get up to pre-war level in oil production. Today, they say we're making progress. I mean, I can only measure progress by what I see and the things that I can actually measure, not by what they say.
Yeah. Because if you go by what they say, you'll think that it's just fairytopia in Iraq. It's all sunshines and sunshine and violets and Teletubbies. Those aren't car bombers. Those are Teletubbies. You can't go by what they say.
Don't mention the Teletubbies. You know they've never forgiven Tinky Winky.
Oh, God, he's gay. That's right. Purple triangle symbol, carries a purse. How hard can it be? But yeah, if you go by what they say, oh my God, I was just so sick of listening to this pimple-brained mush mouth talk that I got tired of cutting sound bites, quite honestly. But there was another segment in his little speech today where he said, and now in Mosul, they're drinking tea. No kidding. He said that. That's one of George Bush's measures of success in Iraq. In Mosul, they're drinking tea. Really. I promise. In Mosul, they're drinking tea.
He's thinking about the Revolutionary War where they dumped all the tea into the harbor. So all those people were deprived of tea. He thinks this is a boon.
Ow.
Mosul.
Ow. It hurts. Now, we're having magnificent success in Iraq because Saddam was a brutal dictator, in Mosul they did not drink tea. Now, today, thanks to our glorious patriotic war, in Mosul, they're drinking tea. Iced tea. With lemon. Well, some of them over there, they like lime. But yet, tea. And none of that herbal tea, neither. Real tea. Reality. Whoa. The walls are melting. We'd better take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Coming up on 18 minutes after 8, got an email in from our pal Ron. Says Lieberman needs a beep reaming for sucking up to the NSDAP wing of the GOP. You'd think someone with Lieberman's background would notice he's thrown in with a herd of Nazi nutcases who've substituted the Arabs for the Jews in the new Fourth Reich. But the beat goes on and Joe is dancing right along with the jackbooted GOP. God, I like the way you think. Just like in the 30s, the trusting little sheep make the same old mistake again, thinking, well, this can never happen to me. By the time the sheep woke up during Hitler's Reich, they were being stripped, beaten, and shoved into the gas chambers. Give them hell. And then he asks, did you say teleshrubby? No, but I wish I had, and I'm glad you did. Oh, Lieberman. And I ran across a video today of the big, wet, sloppy kiss that dear leader gave him after the State of the Union address. Ugh. It's enough to make you jump in there hand in hand with the Republicans against gay marriage, because I don't think I could take another one of those. That was disgusting. Let's go back to Martha for just a minute. Let's wrap some of this stuff up. Martha was impressive today because he just talks in facts. We don't hear any of this happy horse hooey about Iraq and the Central Front and the war on terror, or the business about Iraq attacked us first and that's why we're blowing up their babies. None of that stupidity. Just straight ahead, hey, head on confrontation with the facts. And the facts are something John Murtha knows a little bit about.
A
today about terrorism. Every other word was terrorism. Let me separate terrorism from insurgency. Bin Laden said he attacked the United States because of the troops in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, too.
That's terrorism.
Yep.
Terrorism was in London. Terrorism mm-hmm. was Spain.
Yep.
Terrorism was obviously in the United States.
Right.
That's completely separate from what's going on in Iraq. Iraq is an insurgency.
Can it get any plainer than that? Iraq is an insurgency. Iraq is a resistance to us. And he, like watching some sort of Eastern mystic take apart a spider web strand by strand by strand and then put it back together again. Mirtha went on to explain that the seven or less percent of people fighting us in Iraq who happen to be allied with some terrorist organization, whether it be Al-Qaeda or Zarqawi or whatever, they're not going to last if we leave. If, as dear leader has posited, if the Iraqis truly yearn to be free, they will rip those terrorists limb from limb in the streets. And they will pile their bodies in the desert for the vultures to deal with. They will do to anyone screwing with their sovereignty kind of what they're doing with us. And it won't be pretty, and it will not happen until we are gone. That seems fairly simple. Now, I believe there's one more comment from Mirtha, isn't there? Let's go to that.
If you remember in Jordan,
the bomber said
that the reason she became a bomber was because two of her relatives were killed.
Worth reiterating.
In Fallujah. We lost the hearts and minds of the people.
Yeah, you could kind of just... Somebody needs to sear that into the Reagan administration. See how it goes? I'm coming unstuck in time. I'm turning into freaking Billy Pilgrim. No, somebody needs to just... We have lost the hearts and minds of the people of Iraq. That needs to just be on an endless tape loop and, you know, give it to dear leader, put the little earbuds in his ears and get him his footy pajamas and send him off to bed and let him just listen to that. We have lost the hearts and minds of the people in Iraq. We have lost the hearts and minds of the people in Iraq because when you blow up their children, they don't like you and they don't accept excuses. Ah, well, we meant to get your husband, ma'am, but we accidentally shot your kid. Oh, well, if that's the case, well, I can understand. No! No. So that was the end of the Mirtha stuff, right? Okay. But he did. He took it all apart. It's not terrorism what's going on. Then the terrorists. What a dummy. What a damn dummy. It's not the terrorists. The terrorists aren't fighting us. The Iraqis are fighting us. And the Iraqis are fighting us because they want us the hell gone. I don't see what's so hard to grasp in that. All you got to do is take the scenario. Apply it to the United States, wherever you live. You know, for me, if the Canadians came marching, I know it would never happen, the Canadians are decent people. If the Canadians were marching through Fayetteville, I would be trying to kill Canadians. Or the Chinese. I read an amazing little pulp science fiction novel not too long back called Sixth Column by Robert Heinlein. It was published in 1949. And it's a scenario in which the Pan-Asians attack and conquer the United States. And in 1949, that was unthinkable. But in Robert Heinlein's 1949, he was watching China go communist. And it was thinkable to him. And this is a guy who saw a whole lot of the future. And it becomes less unthinkable now when you think about how much of America the Chinese communists own. George Bush has hung more bad paper on them than a busted mobster in Vegas trying to get one more roll of the dice. It's scary. It's a scary world. It's a scary December 7th, 2005. On December 7th, 1941, the resolve of the American nation steeled and coalesced. And whether it's apocryphal or not, there's that line, I forget who is alleged to have said it, one of the Japanese leaders, when he found out that the American aircraft carrier force, such as it was, our three aircraft carriers, Wasp, Hornet, and Enterprise, were not at Pearl Harbor at the time of the attack, he is said to have remarked, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant," and filled him with a terrible resolve. And that is precisely what had happened. And our cause was just. We had been attacked, and we were compelled to defend ourselves. But Iraq didn't attack us. And there is no resolve to steal against a people who intended us no harm. That's not war, that's bullying. And it's sad. And again, God forgive us. It is our national shame. Coming up, our nightly Cup of Joe report. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, "Reconsider your labor practices." A few months later, I get a letter back saying, "Thanks for being a loyal customer," and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. If there's one thing that's remained pretty constant throughout human history, it's the fact that justice varies depending on how rich and powerful the person is. It doesn't matter what form of government we're talking about. It's always the same. Petty crimes committed by poor people are always punished more harshly than crimes committed by those in power. If there were any real justice in this country, the current administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers would all be sitting in a jail cell right now, either awaiting trial or serving time for crimes they have committed. Crimes that not only cost hundreds of thousands of lives, but have helped make the world a more dangerous place for its 6 billion inhabitants. Instead, the worst thing that might conceivably happen to the perpetrators of these crimes is spending a few years in a cushy prison followed by a life of luxury as a well-paid lobbyist or a cake job at a sleazy corporation. Compare that with some slob facing a decade in real prison facing death or injury every day for smoking a joint or for downloading a few MP3s from the internet, and you see how ridiculous it all is. And the really sad thing is that the only reason this all happens is because we allow it to. By not getting involved, by not paying attention, and in some cases by directly supporting the criminals in charge. Oh, we can blame the politicians all we want, but when it comes right down to it, we're just lousy citizens. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Let's cruise on into some more fun stuff. Let us leave behind us the land of he whom our good friend Gene in Oregon refers to as Chuckle Nuts. An email from our pal Gene. Bob, aren't all those places President Vacuum Chamber mentioned Muslim territories or countries? And didn't Chuckle Nuts also say we're not in a war against Islam? Thanks, George. May you live long enough to see Babs and Jenna drafted. Expletive withheld. Thanks, Gene. But yeah, let's move on. .org. Today, a ruling came down from the Supreme Court, a 9-0 job. Now, you just know that it's got to be a real easy one when it comes down 9-0. Now, what can you imagine? What can you imagine that would be so agreeable to all 9 life-term sitting tenured members of the Supreme Court as to engender a 9-0 ruling? Debate over interstate commerce? No. Because the weirdos from the right wing don't even think the interstate commerce clause exists. Something about the Ten Commandments? Nope. Gay marriage? brain dead girl, sorry. No, what it boiled down to, 9-0 today, was a decision by the Supreme Court of the United States to the effect that it's okay, wait for it, it's okay for the United States to seize the Social Security payments of recipients who are in default on their student loans. Crank your chin up off the floor, Agnes. That's right, yeah. And, you know, you can just see fat Tony Scalia sitting there saying, well, you know, that Justice Ginsburg, she may be a card-carrying ACLU commie, but, well, when she's voting to screw the crippled, she's my kind of gal. 9-0 to screw crippled people. 9-0.
So they couldn't kill enough in Katrina. So now they're going after people who are disabled.
Yeah, you know, you got it. You racked up some student loans. And, you know, you went to work and you paid your student loans.
Right.
But, you know, let's use our analogy from round hereabouts. You got hurt
on a car wreck.
You got in a car wreck. You're on the, okay, well, generic. You were in a car wreck.
Right.
You're disabled. You can't do your job anymore. You go on Title II Social Security disability. And because you're not working anymore, you can't make those student loan payments anymore. And you go into default. Now, we already know from prior rulings that the IRS can withhold your income tax refund.
True.
For defaulted student loans. Well, the national security state just took another step forward because now they can take your Social Security disability check away from you to pay for your student loans.
Grandma, don't go back to school. Don't take out that student loan. You'll never live to pay it off.
You get this?
That's sickening.
You get the... My country, 'tis of thee.
Well, see, they just cut student aid.
You got to talk into the microphone, dear.
They just cut student aid. So now...
Yeah, the Pell Grants, that kind of Stafford loan.
Force you into getting student loans.
Right.
So that if something god awful would happen, you can't sue anyone because...
You're getting there.
The insurance company owns just about everything now.
It's carpentry. It all dovetails.
And they're just going... to keep taking away and taking away until you're, what, destitute?
Uh-huh. Nice, huh?
And I'm not even the sharpest tack on the block.
You got it. The government, by a 9-0 ruling of the Supreme Court, can now take away Social Security disability payments from crippled people to pay for defaulted student loans. Oh, glory. Someone, I forget who, sent me one of those little parody lyrics today. Let me see if I can find it here. because it suddenly fits. It's a revamping of the battle hymn of the Republic. Oh, there it is, yeah. The battle hymn of the Republicans. Check this out. Not going to sing, I know how you feel about that. Mine eyes have seen the bungling of that stumbling moron Bush. He has blathered all the drivel that the neocons can push. He has lost sight of all reason, 'cause his head is up his tush. The doofus marches on. Got any singers in the audience? I have heard him butcher syntax like a kindergarten fool. There is warranted suspicion that he never went to school. Should we fault him for the policies, or is he just their tool? The lies keep piling on. Glory, glory, how he'll screw ya. Glory, glory, how he'll screw ya. Glory, glory, how he'll screw ya. His wreckage will live on. I have seen him cut the taxes of the billionaire's lone heir as he spends another zillion on an aircraft carrier. Let the smokestacks keep polluting. Do we really need clean air? The surplus now is gone. Glory, glory, how he'll screw ya, yada, yada. Your safety net is gone. Now, he's got a mighty hanker into bomb a prostrate state, though the whole world knows it's crazy and the UN says to wait. When he doesn't have the evidence, we must prevaricate. Diplomacy is done. Oh, a trumped-up war is excellent. We have no moral bounds. Should the reasons be disputed, we'll just make up other grounds. Enraging several billions to his brainlessness redounds, the doofus marches on. Apparently this comes from someone in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I have a question for all the history buffs out there.
Mm-hmm.
When the Depression came around and the stock market crashed, who was in power at that point? Who was the president?
No,
and
well...
What, oh, wait, no, Bob. I want to hear from somebody. Call and let us know. Tell us who it was and what his political affiliation was. Please do that.
Well, that's the easy question, though. No, the question you want to ask is, who had been in power in the United States for something on the order of 12 years when the Depression hit? 12 years. 12 long, miserable years. But that lyric I just read you is so apropos. God Almighty. Anybody want to tell me again about all those liberals sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States and how they just make law and don't enforce it? Anybody want to try that one on me again? Ruth Bader Ginsburg's a commie. Newsflash. Commies generally don't vote to screw crippled people. Because that's what this boils down to. This is the guy, this is the woman who can't work anymore and relies on some paltry pittance in the form of Social Security disability checks just to stay alive. And nine hateful, grizzled old thugs on the Supreme Court, and I include the people that are supposed to be so-called liberals in this indictment, voted to screw crippled people today. May their heads not rest easy on their pillows tonight. You old farts. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Remember you. Hey, friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Let's go straight to the phones. John is with us, calling from, get this, Australia. Hey, John, are you with us?
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Put a shrimp on the Barbie, for God's sakes.
I tell you what, though, I heard you into that Foster stuff. I got to find a way to get you some real Australian beer.
Oh, yeah. It's depressing because it's union made, at least. But, you know, I noticed the last time I picked up an oil can, made in Canada.
Well, yeah, see, that's what happened. Foster's did the thing like I think it's Lowenbrow, you know, it's made under license everywhere.
Right.
And when that happened, the kind of Australians went, oh, that's not ours anymore.
Yeah, what's the big brew down there?
Well, probably the most common one in New South Wales, the state that I'm in, is VB, Victoria Bitter, and that's made by Carlton, the people who make Foster's.
Is there a Ballantine's or something down there? Or
yeah, there is. There's some really good smaller breweries. There's Malt Shovel, which makes a few different things, like India Pale Ales and a real
pilsner.
That's really, really something else. And they've got this old legend about that the guy actually came over on one of the prison ships. And the reason that he was able to stay alive in prison is because he learned how to brew beer and kept the guards happy.
That will keep you alive. How are things down under?
Well, I tell you, I've been amazed for a country that usually takes everything with a grain of salt. I feel like they're buying hook, line, and sinker into the propaganda machine. And, you know, we only have really three networks here for 20 million people on an island. So it's real easy to control the message if you like.
So it's just are you saying it's an extension of the whole no worries?
Yeah, a bit. Now, you know, then again, you start talking to a well-read Australian, they've got a really good clue. But I don't think they really understand the implications of it and the fact that their soldiers shouldn't be over there. And just recently, after having said that once their current mission was done, they'd bring them all back home, well, suddenly they're going to be given a new mission, and they've just sent a whole new batch over.
Oh, that's just pitiful.
As they're cramming through anti-terrorism bill, which looks a lot like the Patriot Act, and they've got these sedition clauses in there that's got everybody up in arms, where basically you can be locked up without charge for speech.
Oh, nice. So instead of in other words, instead of the United States exporting democracy, we're what, exporting the terror state, the national security state, the fascist state?
Okay. Chew on this. If our founding fathers were writing the Declaration of Independence here, they would be locked up under these provisions.
Well, I think they'd probably find themselves in a dog cage in Guantanamo here, too.
Yeah. I kind of always hope that the questioning Australian, I mean, they're usually very they blow off whatever anybody says. But they seem to be following this Howard character for some stupid reason, and the opposition's had been chopped off at the knees for years, which I think is...
Howard technically a conservative, a liberal? Do the labels apply?
The labels are basically the opposite, okay? Liberal is the right-wingers here, and Labor is the left.
Okay,
and the liberals have recently signed on with the new conservative fundamentalist Christians.
Have you got those down there too?
They're coming up underneath the surface, and it's there's a guy by the name of DARP, and I think his website is darpism.com or darpism.com.au, and he follows a thing called the Hillsong Church. They have their own TV station, mobile recording truck that they bought off a production company that I know. They have the biggest selling Australian artist in history, bigger than Kylie Minogue, and she's a Christian. And the people all donate almost the entirety of their salaries to the church, and then get all their services from the church.
Oh, this is sounding. I was talking about Robert Heinlein a little bit ago. This sounds like the Fosterites in Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And what's really strange is what's unfortunate is, you know, I work in concert production, and as we've gone down to just having basically the Sony monolith as a one label, there's not much live music going on, so technicians like me are struggling to find gigs. Well, the one mobile recording truck left in Australia at that time went to this church, and then suddenly they needed technicians, so guys hurting for work are getting sucked into this thing.
How much you want to bet this guy's tied in somehow with our dear buddy Reverend Moon?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. It's all very kind of one of the things that we talk about on Bruce and my show is
we cover
what we call the axis of iniquity, and over the last couple of decades, I reckon the same forces have been playing the same games in the U.S., the U.K., Australia. I think the right has been running bogus candidates in the opposition. I mean, look at a guy like Lieberman.
Yeah, sure. And the story I talked about, I guess it was last week, where the FBI was permitted to put a dummied-up candidate on the ballot and run him in the election here in West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, the idea of having democracy undermined is not out of the question. I mean, you can do it in such subtle ways from so many different directions. And there's only been one piece that I've heard on it here. They want to test run electronic voting machines in the next federal elections here. And the only place I heard about it was on a comedy show.
Well, that's where most of the news comes from now. The Daily Show here, Jon Stewart. You get more news there than you do with 30 minutes of CBS or any of the other alphabet soups.
Hey, there's been many studies that have said that if you want to actually get people to remember real facts and be able to use them, is to utilize comedy, because you're able to access that same fact from almost a multitude of directions.
That's straight out of Madison Avenue.
Yep.
Well, John, we've got to hit our break, but it's awfully good to hear from you. We'll be listening Saturday night for the Fourth Estate.
Right on, man.
All right, take care.
Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, great. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Are the internets not just fascinating? You know, because Dear Leader says there are several of them, the internets. Australia? Oh, I feel like a kid in a candy store. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, my speechlessness has abated. That's just wonderful. Getting a call from our pal John from the 4th Estate. Check him out Saturday night. And it's nice to get perspective outside the borders of the continental U.S., but sadly, it sounds like as much insanity as is gripping the land down under as is gripping us. I mean, they've even got their own weird religious fundamentalists now. Ick. Where, you know, when the fascists finally complete the takeover, where is left to go? Oh, that's, well,
Venezuela.
Hugo Chavez. You remember Hugo. The guy whose corporation is providing low-cost heating oil to low-income families in Boston, New York, plans to expand it. You know, I haven't noticed ExxonMobil or anybody else bellying up to the compassion bar. Have you? My dad and I were watching the account of this on CNN today. And, of course, you know, CNN being true to their masters. You know, brutal Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez is embarrassing the Bush administration. God bless him. My dad looks up and says, he doesn't need Hugo Chavez to embarrass him. He embarrasses himself every time he opens his hateful, ugly, idiotic little mouth. And it's true, it's true. Let's go to the phones. Peter's calling in from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Australia. Bob, I listen to talk radio all the time. I listen to it just, I'm like a total talk radio junkie. You're one of the shows I will not miss, by the way. There's only a handful.
Bless your heart.
But I've got to tell you, nobody gets calls from Australia. That's absolutely fantastic. Way to go, dude. You're cornering the global market.
Now, I think I've heard Malloy take some calls from Finland a couple of times.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah.
Well,
but,
kangaroos there.
That's true.
I was going to share something with Agnes, too. You know, she got the handle of being the abomination. Someone in the chat room, the Hartman chat room, referred to her the other night as Agnes of Bob.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, it was so funny. Yeah, that's enough. So she could be Agnes of Bob.
Agnes of Bob. Yeah. Well, yeah, I refer to her from time to time as Agnes Dei. You know, that's you know, Latin for wrath of God.
You know, really, one of the reasons I call it is I'm so upset about Limbaugh. You know that you've read about the four Christians that have been that are being held
right
in Iraq.
Yeah, they were kidnapped.
Yes, they were kidnapped.
And he said he was glad of it.
Well, what the media is really not bringing out to any degree is the fact that these are not your standard Bush convert the Muslims rubber stamped approved Bush type Christians. These are part of a justice and peace movement. They're actually part of a group called the Christian Peacemakers Team.
Right.
And, you know, Limbaugh came out the other day and said something to the effect that, you know, they brought it on themselves for going out unprotected. But, you know, that's just so typical of him. I mean, if it had been your standard hand him a Bible, convert the Muslim types, he would have probably gone off on an entirely different...
Oh, yeah, he'd be having an apoplectic, oxymoronic fit.
And he says that they went out without protection. Well, you can't get protection unless you're a rubber-stamped Bush there.
Well, of course not.
And they're there to assist and try to speak out against what's going on there and observe what's happening to real Iraqis. And you can't do that with an American team there.
No. And well, you know, we had the soundbite, Peter, from Limbaugh saying, well, you know, these four people were kidnapped, and I'm kind of glad about it.
Oh! Did he? I guess he said that he actually said that.
Yes, he said it, Peter. I mean, these people are the most hateful, nasty, venom-filled vipers, serpents, whatever you want to call them, that are imaginable. I've got a story right here. And this is today, or rather Monday, Michael Reagan, son of President Reagan, came out and said that that Howard Dean, and these are his words, not mine, should be hung.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Bob, I missed that he said it was that it was glad it happened, but it goes hand in glove with his other remarks. They brought it on themselves. It's disgusting the way this is handled, and it's just all so corrupt and it's all so evil. But there is one ray of hope. Maybe they'll all die of bird flu, and here's why.
Okay.
Okay. There's a scientist. Actually, he is part of the tropical disease center. He's in Hanoi, and he's treated 41 bird flu cases so far.
Yes.
And guess what? Tamiflu doesn't work.
No, but it sure does. It sure does sell good, and we all know that Rummy's got stock in the corporation.
Yes,
so,
but
it don't work.
Yeah, the Republican. He says the only thing that works is to put people basically on full life support with the dialysis and the oxygen machine and
ventilators down the throat and
exactly. So the Tamiflu won't save the rich Republicans after all. So that's a ray of hope. And there was one other thing I wanted to, it being prayer meeting night. I thought that we ought to try something that I've not heard anyone try before, and that maybe we should just try and go ahead and just do an exorcism on the White House. You know, Bush stepped down, the power of Christ compels you. And we could, like, do that for a couple of hours, and maybe it would work, you know. It'd be the first real-time radio exorcism of the universe.
I think I've got that soundbite right here. Let me see if Agnes can run this for you. But, you know, It never hurts for people to hear how filthy the pig man can get.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is just the raw cut, so we'll have to dig through it a little bit. But go ahead, honey, and see if you can make it go. Okay, here we go. Yeah, just bear with us.
Okay.
All right, these people were dead wrong then. They have been wrong about most everything they have said for the last 15 or 20 years, and even beyond that. They are wrong about Iraq.
No, that's not it.
They are
cut-and-run
quitters in Iraq.
We're cut-and-run quitters in Iraq because we don't want more Americans to die.
Yeah, the clip may be buried down. Who knows how far.
Sorry.
Right.
I tried.
I missed it, but I was in the department chat earlier, and I was asking folks, in fact, it was Bruce I was asking. He was in the room, and he had heard, he had forwarded me an article with Limbaugh's comment and the response from one of the fellow, I think his name is Fox, one of the people that's kidnapped, a response, I believe she was on Nightline. But, I'm kind of heartbroken about it. You know, it's another example of the right kind of Christians trying to do the right thing, and the media is not pointing out that there's a resistance movement going on. You've got Limbaugh glad that that it's happened,
and from last night's show, you've got Robertson coming out with his fangs dripping against the Jews, he said it on his show in his interview with John Gibson. He said, "And the Jew, the ADL, is coming after the Christians."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right up there with. The Christmas card problem and the store greeting problems, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we're just not whoring out Jesus Christ for the retail industry enough.
Well, you guys, you do a great show, and I'm so glad that you let me be a part of it every once in a while.
It's an absolute pleasure, Peter. Don't ever hesitate to pick up the phone anytime the Spirit moves you.
Thanks, buddy.
Especially on prayer meeting night.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And a quick break, and we'll be back. I've got some more details on this Social Security case before the court today. You're going to love it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Maybe you know how the families of the soldiers in Iraq feel.
Yeah. Wow, that's some sad stuff. 19 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. No, well, let's see. One thing. There's so much to go into on prayer meeting night. A little background for you, though, on the Social Security thing. Yeah, we're kind of all over the board, aren't we? The principal plaintiff in the case was a guy named James Lockhart. James Lockhart is, 67 years old. He's a former postal worker. And he has heart disease, diabetes, and other health problems, and $77,000 in student loan debt. Now, bear in mind, it's already been fixed by the government so that you can't bankrupt the student loan debt, for all intents and purposes. And now, even though you're crippled up, and you need every... He gets $874 a month in Social Security disability. $874. $874 to live on from month to month to month. And 9 hateful old people, you know, there's a blurb in the story, Gene sent us this one. Retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor wrote the decision that went against a disabled man. He sued, claiming he needed all of his $874 monthly check to pay for food and medication. Retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who has the best health care available in the United States, who wants for nothing, for whom $874 is chump change. Who herself has been through cancer, for God's sakes. Said, no, you can't keep your money, Mr. Lockhart. The Social Security Administration's going to have to give it up for your student loans. Too bad you're crippled, buddy. Now, she wrote the majority opinion, but of course, Fat Tony Scalia had to write a concurring opinion. He couldn't just go along. I mean, granted, it's fun when you're a Supreme Court justice. It's fun to screw crippled people. But you gotta dig the language from Justice Scalia. This hateful, self-flagellating Opus Dei monster. In a concurring opinion, Justice Antonin Scalia said that Congress, quote, unambiguously authorized without exception the collection of 10-year-old student loan debt. In doing so, it flatly contracted and thereby effectively repealed, listen, repealed part of the Social Security Act. Huh. Well, I get that sounds like judicial activism to me. Don't know about you, but it does to me. And, of course, all the little right-wing property monkeys got all burned up over that the eminent domain case a few months ago. Shh. Listen. See if you can hear Neil Bortz screaming about this one. See if you can hear Flush Flimball, Sean Hannity Job, Falafel Boy O'Reilly screaming about this one. Of course not, because you see, what's going on here, this is the backdoor attack on Social Security. Notice the language from the concurring opinion. Congress thereby effectively repealed part of the Social Security Act. That's interpretation. That is their opinion of what Congress meant to do. That's not fact. But you know what? If Scalia can find a way to chip away at things like Social Security and support for, you know, those people, the poor, the widows, the orphans, those disgusting people who don't eat, you know, the right kind of food and live the right kind of life, the kind of life that suits the likes of a monster like Scalia or a toe sucker like Clarence Thomas or, you know, a heartless cancer survivor like Sandra Day O'Connor or even erstwhile liberals like Breyer and Ginsburg. Nah. We don't have time for the poor in this country. And if you can get the added bonus of cutting a little bit of Social Security legislation away and destroying it, more the better. Yes, dear.
Wonder if you'll hear Dobson or Falwell or any of them.
No. No. Well, only, you would hear from them if it was going to be done in such a way that they would stop getting their little old lady Social Security checks.
Well, see, folks, if you think about it very hard, it affects you.
Sure it does. And John Roberts today announced his first ruling. It was a 9-0 decision, too. And it's another dandy. Might have to dig around, try to find some details on this one. Who is the most put-upon group in America today? Who is the most abused group in America today? Well, if you ask someone like, say, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, they'll tell you it's those poor, bedraggled, needy insurance companies. Insurance companies. Oh, the poor things. 9-0 in an opinion authored by Johnny Robbs Remember Johnny Robbs? He said his favorite movie was Dr. Zhivago. Remember that quote, nothing demanded by the party is beneath the dignity of any man? Yeah, that Johnny Roberts. The 9-0 decision backed insurance companies. The insurance companies had argued that they shouldn't have to pay legal fees of a New Mexico couple in a case that was shuffled from state court to federal court and then back to state court. In other words, they jerked these poor people around, screwed them, blued them, and tattooed them, and then said, so what? We're an insurance company. We don't pay. And the Supreme Court of the United States, 9-0, said, damn right, you don't pay. Poor little insurance companies. Those mean, nasty consumers roughing you up and taking you to the Supreme Court. Poor little sugar pumpkins. It's another night I don't feel like singing. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Went to see the captain, strangest I could find. Laid my proposition down, laid it on. I won't slave for beggar's pay, likewise gold and jewels, but I would slave to learn the way, sink your ship of fools, ship of
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so we got about 23 minutes or so to finish out this Wednesday evening prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, as if you didn't know. The phone number is 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366, alternatively 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com, and you guys have kept the wires hot tonight, and I appreciate it. Another thought in from our pal Ron with regard to that line. Cheney says, war critics, dishonest, reprehensible. And Ron asks the question, timeout. Didn't figure you wanted me sneezing all over you. Ron asks the question, what has any Democrat said or done that can top Bush's bring it on statement or the pictures from Abu Ghraib when it comes to emboldening the terrorists? Then Cheney and Bush threatened to veto any anti-torture bill from Congress, which seems to reinforce the claim by the POW protection groups that the administration was responsible for the horror at Abu Ghraib. Cheney and Bush are the worst apples in the history of the country. What was that word, Rummy? Yeah, there's some real dead enders in the history of the country, and they have angered and emboldened people all over the world. You know, the way that the other side thinks is so confounded foreign to me that I can't imagine what goes on in their little heads. You know, every once in a while I'll be out at night and I'll catch a rerun on WSB out of Atlanta of Sean Hannity Job. You know, playing that music about the woman burning the house down and thinking it's patriotic. Oh, idiot. And it's like listening to the Twilight Zone. It's like listening to something from some alternate universe, because I don't know anyone who thinks like that, who thinks that torture is okay. And I believe it was our friend Victor who sent me along an article from Information Clearinghouse, a fabulous website if you're not in the habit of going there, informationclearinghouse.com or informationclearinghouse.info. Okay. An article by S. Brian Wilson called Torture is an American Value, Reality versus the Rhetoric. And what Ron says is right. There is nothing more reprehensible or dishonest than what they themselves have done. Of course, it's a shell game to keep us off their trail, at least in theory. But S. Brian Wilson writes about his days in Vietnam and the shock and horror he experienced when he realized that we were torturing over there. And then goes on to cite some historical precedents that are really quite fascinating, going all the way back to his own roots in New York and New England. He says, I discovered that Indian captives were skinned alive and dragged through the streets of New Amsterdam in the 1640s. Captains Underhill and Endicott in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, governed by John Winthrop, spent their time burning and spoiling the country of Indians in Rhode Island and Connecticut in 1636-37, while sparing the children and women as slaves. He says, my hometown of Geneva in the Finger Lakes region of New York State was once home to the Seneca Nation with its flourishing farms, orchards, and sturdy houses. In 1 2-week period in September 1779, General George Washington's orders, quote, to lay waste that the country be destroyed, instilling, quote, unquote, terror among the Indians were dutifully carried out by General Sullivan, who promised that, quote, the Indians shall see that there is malice enough in our hearts to destroy everything that contributes to their support. Wilson writes, in Northern California, where I now live, the same grueling history exists. Bret Hart wrote in 1860 that little children and old women were mercilessly stabbed and their skulls crushed by axes. Old women lay weltering in blood, this is a quote, their brains dashed out, while infants with their faces cloven with hatchets and their bodies ghastly wounds lay nearby. It goes on. 1920, the NAACP investigates the conduct of U.S. troops in Haiti. More than 3,000 Haitians were killed by U.S. Marines. Many of them were tortured. And then, in the past, on this program, I have read Mark Twain's The War Prayer, which is as stunning a piece of anti-war literature as has ever been written. Mark Twain? Really? Yeah, Mark Twain. And he wrote it after finding out what we were doing to the Filipinos when they were trying to be a free people after in the aftermath of the Spanish-American War. There's the counterinsurgency of the late 1920s when we sent the Marines into Nicaragua because Nicaragua wasn't paying the banks back on their loans fast enough. So, we as liberals, decent people, upstanding people, progressives, Democrats, we can sit in shock or horror or, you know, pick a word as we watch what the Bush administration is doing, and we can say that these are not American values and that we do not accept them and we do not take responsibility for them, and we can abjure people to do the same. But if you read things like Mr. Wilson's article at Information Clearinghouse, or if you read Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, you know that this is same stuff, different decade. We have a taste for blood in this country when we want it. And we leave it to the next generation to pretty it up and hopefully forget it. You know, for heaven's sakes, the first Thanksgiving was declared as a day of thanks to God for allowing the white people to massacre a great number of natives. That's what they were giving thanks for. Won't hear that on the O'Reilly Factor, though, will you? Of course you won't. The right wing, theirs is a fantasy world. It's, you know, all June and Ward Cleaver and picket fences and clean sidewalks and no dark-skinned people anywhere to be seen and happy, happy, happy. Yes, dear.
You mean Pleasantville?
Precisely, Pleasantville.
But you said pick a word.
Yeah.
Basically what it is the same thing that George W. Bush said was going to happen to Baghdad, shock and awe, except this is psychological shock and awe. And it affects you, it affects me,
sure.
It affects everyone. And if you allow someone to do that to you, then you're an enabler.
Right. I mean, these are lessons out of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon and Narcanon. And the word you, enabler. Yeah. And Peter mentioned having a mass exorcism of the White House. I'd be in favor of that. You know, people 100 deep in a ring all the way around the White House chanting, you know, who knows? I mean, look, you know, it's that line from Hamlet. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophies. Line up people all the way around the White House in a group 100 deep. Or 1,000 deep, and chant and make that awful man leave. It's worth a try. It's peaceful. It's kumbaya.
They'll use chemical warfare on them.
Sure. Gun them down in the streets, whatever.
You know, you think this is hyperbole, but try watching Logan's Run.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned Robert Heinlein a little bit ago. That man predicted a lot that has come to pass.
Exactly.
And he had a rather profound understanding of fascism, and he saw the rise of fascist states in places where you know, in the countries that had ostensibly defeated fascism.
And folks, before you start calling people commies and telling them how their ideas are wrong, look back through history. Look back what communism was. It's not what the Liberal Party is putting out.
No, I mean, look, we like to go to the department store, too. We like to take Sunday drives when you can afford the gas. We are the liberals, the progressives, the decent people, the love thy neighbor types. We are the heart and the soul of America. And so when you've got somebody like the son of Ronald Reagan, Michael Reagan, I mentioned it earlier in chatting with Peter. Michael Reagan, son of the late President Ronald Reagan, is blasting Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean for declaring that the U.S. won't be able to win the war in Iraq, saying Dean ought to be, quote, hung for treason.
I think he needs to look at what treason really is.
Not a bad idea. It is fairly well defined. Reagan was reacting to Dean's comments earlier in the day when he said that the, quote, idea that we're going to win the war in Iraq is an idea which is just plain wrong. And it is! Oh, my God! The Council on Foreign Relations speech that Dear Leader delivered today. You know, we will not accept anything except total victory in Iraq. Well, buddy, you're not going to... There's not... Who's going to surrender? How are you going to get the battleship into Baghdad to get the... Honest to God, who surrenders? Now, he's defined these three groups, the rejectionists and the Saddamists and the terrorists. Who is going to speak for those groups? No one. Of course no one. This is... It's foolishness. It's idiocy. It's a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing. Who's... It ain't a football game. It's, you know, the clock's not going to wind down to zero and the cheerleaders jump up and down and we win, yay! Ain't going to happen. There will be no surrender documents. There will be no treaties between us and the terrorists and their global war on humanity. They're going to keep doing what they're doing if they're not... Yes.
They've been doing it for thousands of years.
Precisely. The Sicarii, the Hashashins.
They've fought amongst themselves. You just have to walk away because you're not going to change millennia of actions. But on top of that, you said that the liberals were the kumbaya crowd. We're not the kumbaya crowd anymore. We're not going to take it.
Okay. When we get to that day, good. And, you know, the fight, you can tell the desperation of the fight by the rhetoric coming from the other side. You know, the oxymoron, that hateful little half-deaf junkie, Flimball. You know, twin sons of different mothers with Karl Rove, if you check the photographs. And he's, they were wrong about Iraq. Really? And that's why the surrender documents are being drafted up? No. And this, Michael Reagan, Howard Dean should be, listen, quote, Howard Dean should be arrested and hung for treason or put in a hole until the end of the Iraq war, Reagan told his Radio America audience on Monday. And all Howard Dean is doing is making sense. And still, there are Democrats in Congress going, we're afraid to oppose the Iraq war. We voted for it. It's got to... No. Vote your conscience. And no conscience, no person of conscience, not real conscience. I'm not talking about the Machiavellian, viper-infested garbage that passes for conscience with this crowd. No. I'm talking about real conscience, the kind of thing that it's like an itch you can't scratch. That kind of conscience will tell you that this is wrong. That kind of conscience will tell you that it's wrong to fight a war in which the people supporting the fighting of that war, who happen to be civilians from another country, are making 50 cents an hour. That's wrong, too. Oh, and looky, from, bless his black little heart, Dick Cheney's going to make a little more money. The Army Corps of Engineers paid profits and bonuses to Halliburton for oil transport and repair in Iraq, even though the Pentagon's own auditors declared $169 million in costs for the work to be, quote, unreasonable and, quote, unsupported. In a letter to the chairman of the House Government Reform Committee, Representative Henry Waxman requested hearings on how Halliburton could have been awarded. Holy cow. This country is not this country is not set up for the honest. Halliburton was awarded $38 million in bonuses. Bonuses. For contract work in which they just flat out lied on their overages. $169 million of the bill they sent in, the Pentagon's auditors said that they were unreasonable and unsupported. And for that, Halliburton got a $38 million bonus. Now, I'm guessing that that $38 million bonus is going to be put into any sort of trickle-down economics where it trickles down to the Sierra Leoneans who work in our dining halls in Iraq 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 45 cents an hour. Nope. Sorry, you Sierra Leoneans. No trickle-down economics for you. No crumbs falling from the table for you. No minimum wage for you, folks. Nope. Sorry. $38 million bonuses. Well, you know, those go to political action committees, and those go to corrupt Republican congressmen like, you know, Randy Duke Cunningham. Yeah, that's where $38 million congressional bonuses go. Typically, between 60% and 70% of costs challenged by Pentagon auditors are ultimately denied to contractors by the contracting authority, but under 6 of 10 task orders of the Rio contract, only 27% of the costs challenged by auditors were ultimately denied to Halliburton by the Corps of Engineers. And, of course, if you're smart and you're involved with the Bush administration, you live in mortal fear of big-time Dick Cheney. And you're a little less inclined to, challenge the company's bills that pay the salary of the Vice President of the United States. Yeah, because he's still getting paid, remember? The Bush administration has offered no explanation for this decision to pay three-quarters of Halliburton's challenged costs, Waxman said. He added, the Corps of Engineers appears to have ignored auditor findings in three ways: by reimbursing Halliburton for costs determined to be unreasonable or unsupported, by permitting Halliburton to collect profits on these challenged costs, and by giving Halliburton unwarranted bonuses. The $169 million in disputed costs occurred under 6 of the 10 task orders issued by the Corps of Engineers. With reimbursement and fee decisions still pending on four other Rio task orders, it is important that we receive prompt answers, Waxman said in calling for a congressional hearing. You can find all this at HalliburtonWatch.org. Let's see. L. Paul Bremer lost $8.8 billion in the SOFA at the Coalition Provisional Authority. He got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Tommy Franks tried to run this war on the cheap and got us locked down into an insurgency or a resistance movement, whatever you want to call it. Presidential Medal of Freedom. Halliburton just dummies up $169 million worth of contracts. $38 million bonus. Oh, and by the way, somewhere in the stack here, an Army colonel has been busted in the procurement scam. It's turtles all the way down, and it just... Damn it! That's a little bit of my money, and yours and ours. You know, dear leaders, remember, it's your money. It is, and we're tired of having it stolen from us, George. Would you please stop? But, you know, too tired. Too much of it. We're too busy working. You know, remember us? We're busy carrying the economy. Us Democrats, us liberals, us progressives, us decent people. Yes, dear?
Well, for all the ones that have said, you know, you're anti-American, you're putting down the troops, you're dropping morale, you know, you can go and get a contract job in Iraq and be paid and take them some freedom. Are you willing to go do that?
Nope, not going to serve in the military. Not going to.
No, not going to go.
Mr. Custer.
No, not even in the military. Go as a private contractor. Go and see what's going on. And then
all the happy stuff?
No, and then come back and tell us all about the happy things that these people are experiencing. Maybe if you see it firsthand, it'll mean something. You're not watching Fox Frillies and all that crap.
I know.
Sorry, I had to think about it there for
a
second.
That's okay.
But you go do that because you won't call in. You don't speak your mind.
Oh, now. Don't taunt the monkeys, dear.
I'm not taunting. See, yeah. I'm
no,
not.
No, you're taunting, dear. And
no.
You know what monkeys do when they get upset? They throw poopy.
See, I'm not the Ann Coulter. I don't want to see anybody taking a ball bat to.
Yeah, she said that, didn't she?
Yes,
oh,
she
by
did.
The way, and a quick update for you guys. Coming up tonight on, I believe, the Daily Show, 11 o'clock Eastern, a segment of my buddy Brad Friedman emailed me to let us know, that the story that they broke last week about Falafel Boy O'Reilly using year-old footage from The Daily Show to dummy up one of his claims, that's going to get taken apart on The Daily Show this evening. It all has to do with the war on Christmas. O'Reilly used a year-old clip in his Talking Points memo segment on his program and used it on his radio show as well, a year-old clip of Samantha Bee, and claimed it was what happened there last night. You know, doing what he does best, doing what any Republican does best, lying. So if you're still up, pop in long enough to check that out. Daily Show is always worth the effort. I caught the White Stripes on there the other night, and I really, really want that new album. Now, I guess that's it for our prayer meeting edition tonight. Ably and admirably produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Announced by Brian Reznor. Engineered by Randy Kerbway. With stream management and archiving by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. One of the hardest working men on the internet. Show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember? They're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR. Every bit of it. It's all for you.